Why scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, then, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded.
ヤコブの手紙4章6節から8節まで。しかし神はさらに豊かな恵みを与えてくださいます。ですからこう言われています。神は高ぶる者を退け、へりくだる者に恵みをお授けになる。ですから神に従いなさい。そして悪魔に立ち向かいなさい。そうすれば悪魔はあなた方から逃げ去ります。神に近づきなさい。そうすれば神はあなた方に近づいてくださいます。罪ある人たち、手を洗い清めなさい。身心の人たち、心を清くしなさい。
Morning.
Morning.
Did you guys have a good Thanksgiving?
Amen. Turkey and football.
Turkey and football, yep. A lot of food and a lot of fun. And for some of you, a lot of shopping. For those of you who went Black Friday shopping, or it's now Thursday, right? I hope you had a chance to forgive those who weren't as nice. Or had a chance to ask for forgiveness. It gets crazy out there. I don't know, how many of you went Black Friday shopping? Hiro, did you go?
No, I didn't.
You didn't go, okay. Well, I went to Walmart Friday around 10 o'clock, and there was no one there. Because they opened their doors Thursday morning, or Thursday night now, right? Around...
Friday morning at 12 o'clock.
Yeah. And, Yeah, Marilyn, that's why you missed all the sales. No. Well, let me begin with prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this time that we could come before you and hear your word. And we pray, Father, that you would speak to us, Holy Spirit, that pray that you would just give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, Lord, through your word. And we thank you so much for this time and for this season of Thanksgiving, Lord. We thank you, Father, for just all your blessings, Lord, in our lives. We know that people around the world, they're not as fortunate as we are, Lord, just to be able to feast and have so much abundance. We do pray, Father, that we would be mindful of that and be thankful as well as responsible, Lord. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to talk about resisting the devil. And as I was preparing for this message, it was really difficult just to prepare. I don't know if you ever had to prepare for something that comes naturally, and all of a sudden it becomes difficult. For me, it just for some reason preparing for this message was difficult, and I was thinking about how am I going to present resisting the devil in such a way that it comes across and I'm able to connect, and I have three solid points, because as a sermon, you always need three solid points, right? So I was thinking, okay, I need to make sure they're intentional. That's a good word. The first point is going to be intentional about resisting the devil. And then I couldn't get the next two points, and I'm like, what's going on, Lord? So I looked at the passage again. And let's read it, James. And as I read through the passage a second time, or as I read through the passage again, I realized it says first in verse 7, and this is where I want to, verse 7 is really what I want to speak about today. It says, submit yourself then to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. And I was like, Lord, that's what I was doing wrong. I was trying to do resist the devil rather than submit to God. You see, there's an order in this. It says, submit to God and then resist the devil. Because in that order is very important. And I believe the Holy Spirit, when he was inspiring James to write it, I believe he gave him this order for a reason, because it's important to have this order. First to submit, then to resist. If you look at the Greek, the first word there is submit. Submit to God. And so what does submission look like? Psalms 46:10, it says, "Be still and know that He is God." Be still and know that He is God. You know, in this day and age we live in, it's really hard to be still, right? And to wait. We have all these things. We have iPads, iPods, Nooks, Kindles, MP3 players. We have all these things that distract us. Even myself, if I'm working on something, a lot of times I have the TV on, I have the internet, and I have two internet pages going at least. And I'm keeping up with scores, and I'm doing all these other things, and that's the day we live in. A lot of multitasking. And if you're not multitasking, it's almost like you're wasting time, right? Waiting is very simple, but it's not easy. The devil makes it hard for us to wait. When was the last time you actually waited and did nothing? Some of you older people, you wait and do nothing all the time, and that's great. That's a good habit to have. Us younger people, to wait and do nothing. Oh, man. I don't know. Eddie, when was the last time you waited and did nothing, right? Well, this past week I went to Minnesota. And yesterday, it feels like a lifetime ago, but yesterday was the beginning of muzzle shooting deer season. They have a different kind of deer season. Muzzle loading. Okay, there's somebody country here today that knows about hunting. Muzzle loading deer season. And that's, deer season where you have to use a muzzle. My father-in-law, he's a hunter. You know, that's what he loves hunting. So yesterday the day before, he asked me, "Hey, do you want to go hunting with me?" And I'm like, "Sure, I'll go hunting with you." And this is, I wasn't going to shoot. I was just going to observe him shoot. By the way, it's shoot, not catch. They're not catching deer, they're shooting deer. Anyways, I go, "Yeah, okay, I'll go with you." So we wake up really early. I woke up around 5:30. We went out around 6:30 or 7. And we go out into the field, and it's freezing cold. But we go out into the field, and as we walk to the deer stand, there's these tracks everywhere. And he's like, first of all, as I was going, I thought, "Oh, okay, we're going to sit in the deer stand and we're going to have just a bonding time. Just a lot of time of talking." That's what I thought, you know. Okay, we're going to talk a lot. But as we get there, he says, "Okay, you have to be quiet. You can't talk." So I'm like, "All right, good." Because I kind of, as his son-in-law, I was actually kind of nervous having like hours and hours of time of talking. But he says, "Okay, when we get there, you have to be very quiet. You can't talk. If you're going to talk, whisper." I'm like, and so I was kind of relieved. I'm like, "Phew." I don't have to talk to my father-in-law for like 2 hours about his daughter. Anyways, but as we go to his deer stand, there's these tracks, and he's like, "Okay, good. Those are deer tracks, and those are coyote tracks." And I'm like, "Oh man, this guy knows what he's talking about, you know? He knows all these tracks and everything." So we go to the stand, and again, it is freezing cold. My arms right here started freezing up fast. Anyways, all we do is wait. You just sit and wait, and you can't really sleep because deers are, you got to wait and watch. And that's all you do. You sit, wait, and watch. And it felt like for 10 hours you do that in the freezing cold. You sit, wait, and watch. Unfortunately, you know, I heard some stuff. It sounded like I heard a little bit of like stepping, but we didn't see any deer that day. I'm kind of glad. I don't know how I would have taken, you know, a deer being shot. I love animals, so I would have, I don't know, I might have cried. I'm glad I didn't see a deer get shot, but it was an interesting experience. You just sit, wait, and watch. And there's some things in life that you have to sit, wait, and watch. Deer hunting is one of those things. If you like going fishing, that's one of those things. You have to just sit, wait, and watch. For those fishers who like talking, they're not really there fishing. Because actually when you fish, if you talk, the fish will see the vibration in the line when you talk. So actually if you're a serious fisher, you just sit, wait, and watch. I don't know what are the things you sit, wait, and watch. I guess stargazing. If you go stargazing, I guess you could talk while you're stargazing, but you know, you just sit there and you watch for stars to go by, right? Finding God, and I don't mean find him, but I don't mean to compare God as a deer or a fish, but in scriptures, it tells us to be still and know God. Again, there are only some things in this life where we need to learn to wait and watch. And encountering God is one of those things. I know a lot of times when I go to prayer, the first thing that happens is I talk. And I'm sure that's what happens with you. If you pray, a lot of times prayer is talking to God. And that's a good thing. But if that's the only prayer life you have, you're missing out on a lot. Because sometimes prayer requires you to just sit and wait on the Lord. As scripture, Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I'm God. Because in that stillness, he begins to speak to us. Have you ever experienced that? If not, I encourage you to come before the Lord and sit without an agenda. You could close your eyes, you could open, keep them open, it doesn't matter. But just sit and wait on him and see what he does. I'll just share with you some of the things he does with me. A lot of times, well, you know, a lot of you, peace will come over your life, and that's an amazing feeling. But just physically, I like sometimes to just sit, put out my hand, and just wait. And it's weird because as you do that, a lot of times you'll feel wind. Slight wind. And that just may be the circulation in the room. And I'm not trying to make things super crazy. But, you know, sometimes it's the Lord. The Lord comes as wind. Amen. And it will just affirm and reassure you and encourage you that his presence is there. Amen. A lot of times there is just this sensation that comes over my body and it just encourages me. I'm in his presence right now. And if you have not experienced the Lord in that way, and I'm not saying you need to experience him in a physical way, but if you haven't experienced him in that way, I encourage you, go before him. Even today, as you go home, sit still, wait, listen. Because he wants to speak to you. He wants you to know him. And scripture says, be still and know him. And so there are only some aspects of God that requires us to be still and wait and watch. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. By the way, what does a submitted life look like? It looks like the life of Jesus. Jesus was a man who was completely submitted to God. And that life is a resemblance of what is possible for each and every one of us that submits to him. Submit to the Lord. And again, you know, my point, I was trying to say, okay, intentional. And so it is intentional. We need to be intentional to submit to the Lord. But also, The second part, resist the devil is also intentional. Because even in the submitted life, and maybe especially in the submitted life, there will be resistance. A lot of us know the Lord as Savior. And we know Him in a very small way as Savior. It's mostly Savior going to heaven, which is amazing. But He is Savior much more. But He is also, and I don't want to talk about salvation today, but He is also Lord. And that's why it says submit to Him. And resist the devil. I'm not going to give the devil too much airtime today, but the devil, it says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And the devil, it says he is the father of lies. And if you look at the devil in Scripture, he comes, and Scripture says he comes as an angel of light, he comes to deceive. And that's how he came to Jesus. It wasn't through force or power, but it was through deception. Are you really the Son of God? Did God really say this? If you are the Son of God, he tested Jesus in his identity, he tested him in his power, he tested him in his ability, and the most important thing, he gave him a shortcut to glory. You know, do you really want this world? Okay, just bow down to me because this is my world. And Jesus had a choice. He either could have went with a cross or a simple bow down of Satan for this world. But a shortcut would never get the job done in the kingdom. But the devil, he comes to us in lies. And the reason why I bring this up is because a lot of times in our own lives, even as Christians, it's intentional to resist those lies. Because a lot of us, we are living in this in-between state of renewed minds and fallen mind. You know, whenever I read Scripture and it talks about us, a lot of times I'm like, really? That's us? You know, the Scripture says, you are salt and light. You guys know that Scripture? And in describing Christians, it says, you are salt and light. And I remember one time, I don't know if I shared this story with you guys, but I remember one time in Bible study, I was in college. It was a college group. And we read that part of Scripture where Jesus says, you are salt and light. And then we shared with the group how you felt. And then I said, well, you know, I wish I was more salt. Or I said something like, I wish I was more light. And then one of the person, kind of said, well, the Scripture says you are salt and you are light. And so it's not like becoming more salt and becoming more light, you know, kind of correcting my theology. And I was like, oh yeah, it does say that. But at the same time, my ego was wounded because I thought I knew all Scriptures, and I thought it was a good thing to want to be salt and light and all that other stuff. I was, you know, expecting people to say, yeah, you know. But instead they're like, no, you are salt, you are light. Anyways, but in Scriptures, a lot of times when it says that you are salt, you are light, it's true. But it's also not yet. We live in a place of already and not yet. It is true, but it's not fully true. Because there's greater glory to come. Amen. And in this in-between state where Satan is defeated already, he is not yet fully defeated. And he is angry. And he comes to us in deceit. And he comes to us with lies. And it's not like crazy lies either, that we know it's a lie. It's very simple lies that we play over and over, and it's lies that have come not just through like supernatural lies, but lies that have come through friends, families, and people that were shopping on Black Friday. Lies that just come and find a way to stick. For example, you guys remember when Jesus was going to the cross and Peter said, "No, no, never, Lord." And Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." It was a lie coming through one of Jesus' best friends that Jesus had to say, "No, that's a lie." And for a lot of us, Satan loves using those closest to us. I mean, it could be from a parent, from a child, and it's a word that comes in and it just sticks. You will never amount to anything. Is a lie from the enemy that could somehow stick. Or you're lazy, you're dumb, you're stupid, or those are all adjectives. I don't know. Give me some more lies that you know you've had a fight. You're depressed, you'll always be depressed, you're lonely and no one likes you, or nobody likes you kind of thing. A lie could be, as I was growing up, and maybe this is still something I'm working on, but growing up, everyone used to say, "Oh, he's a shy kid, he's a shy kid." And then I adopted that. I owned up to that. I'm like, "I'm a shy kid." And that might be true. I might be introverted. But it could also have been just a word just that stuck, that Satan tried to label me with. And the scripture says here, resist the devil. The more you agree with the devil, the stronger it becomes in your life. The more you agree with, "Oh, I'm dumb. You know, my mom called me dumb. My friend called me dumb. My teacher, she gave me an F and called me dumb." By the way, yes, I have failed some classes before in my life. And all of a sudden, you begin to own up to that. Well, scripture says here, resist the devil. And I say right now, if you think you're dumb because people have called you dumb all your life, that is Satan. Resist him. Break that off of your life. Say no. The Spirit of God in your life have given you the supernatural power to say no to the lie of Satan, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What is he trying to steal in your life? What is he trying to destroy in your life? What is he trying to kill in your life? If you agree with him, he's doing a good job of doing it. Whether it's stealing joy, destroying relationships, killing your dreams. I don't know what it is, but it is something he's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. Let me tell you, he is not a nice person. Whatever he could steal, whatever he could kill, whatever he can destroy, he will do it. And it's usually the most important things in our lives that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if he can't get those, he'll get whatever he can. But it begins with the most important things. And so the more we live in agreement with him, the better chance he has of doing that. So I say to you, be still, know God, know his voice and what he's speaking to you. What are the words he's speaking to you? You are an overcomer. You are light. You are salt. You are well loved. You have the mind of Christ. All these things are words and truth found in Scripture about us that we need to submit to. When we think of submitting, we think of a slave and taskmaster, right? Slave, go get water. Yes, master. No, it's like this. For the kingdom, it's like the master is saying to the slave, You are more than an overcomer. The slave has to say, yes, master. Even though I don't feel like it, even though the whole world is telling me the opposite, I'm going to submit to you, Lord. I'm going to submit to your truth that I'm more than an overcomer. You have a renewed mind. You have the mind of Christ. But Lord, the whole world is saying I'm stupid. And I'm at best, a B-minus student in seminary. That's true. I'm a B-minus student in seminary, but that does not mean I don't have the mind of Christ. I don't care what the world tells you. If the scripture says you have the mind of Christ, you have the mind of Christ. Submit to the Lord. Be still and know that. And finally, I just want to end with verse 8. It says, come near to God, and He will come near to you. And let me just stop there. You today, even now, can be as close to God as you want to be. That is an invitation. Come near to God, and He will meet you halfway. You can be as close to God as you want to be. And I invite you to come near to Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for the truth of who we are in You. And we pray, Lord, that we would allow Your words and Your truth to find deep, deep meaning. That it would be, Lord, the constant... Yeah, Jesus. That it would be the constant voice that we hear instead of the lie of the enemy. In fact, in Jesus' name, for those of you who have been listening to the lie of the enemy, in Jesus' name, I silence those lies. With the power of the Holy Spirit, I command those lies to cease right now. We break that power. We resist you, Satan, and you must flee, as the scripture says. I just want to invite you as we pray. I just want to invite each and every one of you. Because none of us are perfect. And in each of our lives there might be a foothold, a stronghold, a simple lie that we may be believing right now. And today I just want you to give you the opportunity to break that lie in Jesus' name. So go ahead and just ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, is there anything, any lie I've been believing in? And if the Lord shows you something, I just want you to break that in Jesus' name. I feel like the Lord wants to break fear in some of your lives right now. Just, yeah, fear, I command you to leave right now in Jesus' name. Anxiety, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Father, we submit to you. We submit to your truth. We submit to your ways, Lord. We submit to all of your promises, Lord. The riches and glories that you have for us, Lord. In store for you who believe in you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just submit to the prosperity and the blessings you want to give us. We submit to that, God. We just humble ourselves before you. And we submit to your truth. We thank you so much for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.